Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brothers have been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death." The book of Revelation can sure stir up a lot of questions. Read a few verses in any chapter in Revelation, and you're bound to have a few questions. Like here in Revelation chapter 12, what's going on? A war in heaven. God's celestial throne in an all-out war with angels and archangels and all the host therein. What an odd thing, angels fighting in a war. It's not something that we usually stop and consider. Not in the midst of such busy lives, filled with our lists of things to do and our over-imposing schedules and the constant beckoning of our smartphones, the needs of our children, the work left on the desk, the draining levels of energy that you and I fight against day in and day out. It all can get in the way of us thinking about angels, especially angels who fight, who wrestle in a spiritual war, as St. Paul writes, not against flesh and blood, a war against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It is a strange thing to consider, angels fighting in a war. But even stranger is how we typically think of angels. Though there are many accounts of angels carrying out the works of God in the scriptures through means of war and battles, wrestling death and bloodshed, we modern day, practically minded, rationalistic, 21st century Christians don't think about angels in those categories at all. Angels engaged in war, fighting. I don't know about you, but when I think of angels, I tend to think of soft, loving, mystical beings. Maybe with some wings, they gently fly about, ministering to me and the needs of those who are in need, carried on fluffy clouds with rays of sunshine. But full disclosure, my ideas of angels were mostly influenced by the hit television series that debuted in 1994, Touched by an Angel. And just for some context, I was 7 years old. And I'd watch in amazement as Della Reese, who portrayed the part of a heavenly angel, would perform these loving miracles in the lives of those whose odds were stacked against them. The show was the K-Love of the early 1990s, promoting feel-good stories that warmed the heart and gave people the assurance of spiritual realities. But for me, the greatest thing about the show was that it came on at 7 p.m. on Sunday night, a school night, and I got to stay up a half hour past bedtime. Well, the angels that we see in the scriptures and in Revelation, they don't look familiar to me. And the more you look at angels in the Bible and less at the angels on the shelves at Walmart, you'll begin to have a few questions. It makes me wonder if books written by little boys who die and see heaven can sell over 10 million copies in our land. Why are there no best-selling books about little girls seeing angels in their room? Is it because we don't care about angels? Or is it because if they had, the angels they would describe would be so far different from the picture that we all have in our minds, created by the cultural forces of our day, that the book would never get published to begin with. As the girl describes to the publisher, the sharp, two-edged sword valiantly resting upon the burnished bronze feet, refined in the fires of a furnace, with a voice that thundered with the roars of many waters. No, no, sorry, little girl, that wasn't an angel. That was a monster, just a figment of your imagination. Or is it because no one's ever seen an angel? Have you ever seen an angel? An angel decked out for war, fighting against the spiritual forces of evil. I don't know about you, but I know that I have not. But I do know many people who have. The prophet Isaiah saw an angel. He described the angel as having six wings. With two, they covered their face. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. And the angel was crying out with a loud voice, thundering with the roar of many waters, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of his glory." And Isaiah responds immediately by crying out with repentance, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people." When John the Apostle saw an angel, he falls down as though he was dead, and he has to be revived back in order to live to tell about it. When Moses sees an angel in the burning bush, he hides his face because he's too terrified to look, as the angel declares, "Moses, Moses, take off your sandals. The ground that you stand on is holy." Zechariah sees an angel, he's rendered mute. When Mary sees an angel, she's greatly troubled. When Paul sees angels, he loses all sense of control. He doesn't even know if he's in earth or in heaven. He can't tell if he's in his body or something else. All he says, he describes hearing things that cannot even be told. Things that I couldn't even begin to utter in words. Suffice it to say that if you had seen an angel, you would know it. Yet the scriptures say that you and me, we have entertained angels without knowing it. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Which only causes more questions about angels. The angels that you and I pray to in our daily prayers every morning and every evening, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." The angels whose praises we join in worship around the altar of God, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. The angels who our Lord promises have been assigned to care for each of us. To care for the little ones who always see the face of their Father who's in heaven. Angels who carry out the works of God in hidden ways, who are among us even now in worship. St. Paul proclaims in 1 Corinthians 11, cautions us to be mindful because of the angels who are among us in worship. The angels who do the Lord's bidding, who are happy to not be known, simply doing what they were given to do, caring for their children, their little ones, and fighting the great spiritual warfare for the children of God. The angel that has been assigned to you by our Lord Jesus fights for you. And they fight with the power of the blood of the Lamb, each and every day, every hour, on your behalf, so that you would be guarded against all the spiritual forces of evil, sin, death, and the devil. No, I've never seen an angel. Not that I know of, anyways. But I have been where they have been. The scene of an accident. Or the place where an accident should have occurred. Or where one should have died. but they didn't. And the only possible explanation is that an angel intervened to care for their little one of God. The hospital room, where incurable diseases were miraculously healed against all odds, or homes where peace returned. And it could only be brought about by the mighty working of the angelic hosts. The angel in your life, whom the Lord Jesus has commanded concerning you, to guard you in all your ways, and whose on their hands they bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You have been where angels have been, and you are now where angels are now, here, gathered around the altar of God, where the blood of the Lamb is poured out for the forgiveness of sinners, where we celebrate the great battle that has been won, where we are gathered with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven around the Lamb who has conquered the devil by his blood and who has conquered your death by his resurrection from the grave. In Holy Communion, we stand among the presence of angels who worship God day and night around his altar, who cry out with loud voices, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of his glory." We join them in their praises that echoes through the halls of heaven, rejoicing with the angels and all the hosts around the throne of the Lamb who was slain and now has begun his reign. Blessing, honor, glory, might, and power be unto the Lamb forever and ever until that day when the angel band comes and bears you, their little one, home. Amen.